Okay, so you join us for a very special edition of Women's Soccer Zone. We're going to do things a little bit differently on this episode. I'm delightfully joined by Anna Dong of the Women's Game, Linda Eriksson, who is, of course, our Swedish correspondent, and Sarah Gerke of the Soccer Desk. And what we're going to do is we are going to have a little bit of a chat about the Women's World Cup draw, which took place today on the day of recording. Now, it's quite good that I've got these three because they actually fell into the group of death. And there's nowhere better to start than that group. Of course, the group of death featured the United States of America, Sweden, Australia, and Nigeria. So I guess the team that will probably be felt most hard done by out of that group will be Australia. A lot of people's dark horses. So Anne, we'll go to you first. When you saw those teams drawn, how did you feel?
Fatal position. Look, when the pots came out the other day, I did put out that worst case scenario would be drawing a USA or Germany plus Nigeria and Sweden. And lo and behold, as you throw that into the universe, that's exactly what happened. Look, it is tough for the Matildas. They're the world number 10. Over the last decade, they've sort of moved themselves up into the world rankings, hopefully giving themselves the chance to be able to go further in a tournament and to draw 2011 finalists in the USA, bronze medalists in Sweden, and also the African champions in Nigeria. It is a tough ask. However, the one good thing about going to 24 teams in the World Cup is that the format is a little bit more forgiving, and even a third place could see them get out of the group. And then from then on, well, if you're going to win a World Cup, you've got to beat the world's best team. So that's the way the Matildas coach Alan Stajic is approaching it. I just had a chat to him not that long ago post the draw, and he's excited about the challenge, and I think the team will be as well.
You're absolutely right. You do have to be the best. You've got to beat the best. And if, for those that don't know, the top two teams from these six groups will go through, and then the four best third place sides will join those teams. Linda, I'll come to you. Obviously, Sweden, quite hard done by the fact that they weren't seeded, and obviously Brazil were. Pearson Haag, she's obviously not happy about the fact that they weren't seeded, but what was her response to the draw and generally the Swedish people?
I haven't seen a reaction from Pia, but the Swedish players, Lotta Schelin was on TV and said she sighed out loud when she heard which group Sweden ended up in. But I think in hindsight, it's not necessarily a bad thing that we've ended up in such a tough group because, as Lotta said, it means you can't relax at the group stage, and that makes it easier if you move on to the playoff, the knockout stages, to adapt to those tougher games.
Sarah, the bullies of the group, if you like, being the number one ranked side, do you think that Jill Ellis will be pleased? You and I just sat in on her press call, and she didn't seem too worried, but she gave quite a lot of stock answers in that she just said, I don't put one team above another, I just look at the first team that we're going to play and then take it from there.
Yeah, I think the US kind of has a similar mentality of Sweden, which is to be required to be quote-unquote on during the group stages and continue that on through the knockout stages can be an advantage when you're talking about momentum and level of play. And the United States has always kind of shown in games where they're against really tough competition. So I think the U.S., you know, just given that American mentality of finding success and winning and always thinking that there's a way, I think that this could really propel them versus coming into an easier group where they maybe aren't as challenged as much and you don't have to raise your game in order to advance.
And then obviously not forgetting the fourth team that makes up that group, Nigeria, had a very good tournament in the under-20s in Canada this summer. And do you think they could potentially pose a bit of a threat and spring a few surprises?
Absolutely. Nigeria, this is their seventh World Cup. They're one of the very few teams that have been to every edition of the FIFA Women's World Cup. And they're a side that year after year they're able to regenerate their teams quite well. Unfortunately, they haven't always done the best at the World Cup. And we saw in 2011 they imploded in Group A with Canada and also France. But Nigeria are a side that are very quick, they're very physical, and they'll go in there as the African champions, knowing that their rank of 30 belies actually what their football is. They've got some really good young players coming through. As you mentioned, they did well in the under 20s and possibly should have actually even won that tournament. They had one of the players of the tournament in Oshoala who ended up with a golden boot, and she scored in the CAF qualifying as well. So Nigeria would absolutely fancy their chances. And what's going to be important, as always, is going to be that very first game. And I know Australia traditionally starts well in tournaments. We drew with Japan in the Asian Cup first up. We went close to defeating Brazil in the last World Cup and defeated Ghana in the 2007. So it's actually a really good challenge to have the world number one, because it really does focus the sights on what they have to do. And with us, Nigeria's next. And if they can get a result, whether it's a point or, a surprise win over the US, it really does set them well for the tournament.
Linda, I'll come back to you in a second. Sarah, the 99ers continues to hang over the US women's national team. 15 years, it'll be 16 years since the US won a World Cup. There's a few players in this group, the likes of Abby Wambach, possibly Hope Solo, Carly Lloyd, could well be their last tournament. Is it now or not never, but is it now or wait another long time if they don't win it in 2015?
No, I don't think so. I think that the pressure is just about, finally breaking through again. And the proximity of the World Cup being played in Canada, I think, really plays up that narrative as well, because obviously the last time that they won was in the United States. So I think that obviously it's kind of something, kind of the monkey on their back. But, if you look at the development pipeline and you see some of the players that are coming through the ranks and that people lament when they're not being called into these current camps. Sarah Killian is a good example. Abby Dahlkemper, there's some very strong young players who can't break into the roster right now, but that means that they're probably going to be, in the conversation for the cycle in 2019. So I don't think that there's anything necessarily pressing that they have to win now or they won't win in the future, but I think it's just they'd like to win now so that it stops being a continual talking point or piece of their narrative. They just kind of want to, play soccer and get through the tournament.
Very quickly before I move to Linda, Laurie Chalumpney recalled to the US team after a number of years out due to concussion issues. That was a popular recall for the games down in Brazil, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. In addition to being, a pretty great person, very popular in the domestic league, she is an extremely talented player. She's done very well for the Red Stars the past 2 years. She's one of the few players on the U.S. roster who is naturally left-footed. Coach Ellis has mentioned that time over time that she's really looking for a natural left-footed player to be in the left back position. So although Kolumny has done well in the midfield for the Red Stars, I think that there's a very serious gap at left back that Coach Ellis is specifically trying to fill. So it'll be interesting to see how she's utilized in the tournament in Brazil.
Linda, Swedish national teams come under fire and a little bit of criticism this year. They've had some iffy results, most notably a game that I went to where England beat them 4-0. People criticizing certain players for not having maybe had the years that they have in the past. Lotte Schelin's name is someone that keeps coming up, despite the fact, she's beaten Lyon's all-time goal scoring record this year. What do they have to do to make sure they're ready for the tournament and make sure they can compete with the likes of the US and Australia and Nigeria?
I think honestly, just good friendlies against some of the better opponents out there to just practice together and make sure they're prepared, because they did change their system of play last year and they haven't quite adapted to that yet. And so they just need a lot of practice.
I think the criticism has been a bit unfair.
No, not entirely. They lost both to France by 3-0 and then to England by 4-0, so they deserved the criticism.
Harsh, but probably true. Well, look, we could go on about this group forever. We all accept it is the group of death. I am disappointed that those three sides have ended up in the same group. You want to see the best teams competing near the end. Hopefully they all will progress to the last 16, and hopefully we'll get the opportunity to play in the latter stages. Let's go through the groups very quickly. Obviously, the host nation, Canada, were in Group A. We knew that before the draw was made, and they were drawn with New Zealand, China, who they will play in the opening game of the tournament, and the Netherlands, who some people think will be a bit of a dark horse. And what did you make of that group when you saw it come out?
I thought it's a very favourable group for Canada, and I just saw an interview with John Herdman, and he couldn't quite contain the smile that he had in relation to their group. It isn't the hardest that they could get, but in saying that, there are a couple, as you mentioned, tricky opponents in there for Canada to navigate. Can I just say one thing before we continue? I thought. Have had reservations at the beginning of the draw when they said that the seeded teams would not be actually coming out of a pot and they had predetermined groups. Now, if I were Brazil or France, I'd be a little bit annoyed about that, considering that group E and F don't end up playing a third place team. They end up playing one of the runner-ups from the other groups. And I thought it just lost a little bit of the random factor in relation to the draw, and it puts some teams on a better course than others. So I just noted that during the draw.
No, it's a fair comment. As you say, there are going to be teams that finish third that potentially scrape through not having won a game. We saw in the European Championships last year where Denmark were able to progress to the latter stages and didn't actually win a game in 90 minutes. So it potentially could throw up a few, you know, obstacles for teams that maybe don't deserve to play against those sides. But I don't know. Sarah, Linda, have you got any views on that?
Not really. I guess they determine those places based on ranking, and I probably would have preferred a random selection too, but if they had to do it this way, it makes sense that those two were the two teams that will have to face runner-ups.
I agree with what Anne said. The other aspect that I would note in addition to the randomness and fairness of the draw is ticket sales and revenues. I'm just wondering kind of what logic went into placing the countries and the groups and the corresponding locations, how that all came together. Because if you look at where the United States is placed, Winnipeg is one of the smaller venues at only about 40,000. So to have what would li will likely be a marquee draw, considering the proximity to the United States, I think it's rather interesting that they wouldn't have purposefully placed them in a stadium that would allow them to sell more tickets and therefore bring in more revenue for the event, considering the topic of, you know, revenue generation and prize money was something that was discussed in the pre-draw press conference. So I think that's another interesting element. Obviously, the fairness of the tournament and how the setup of the brackets go is far more important than just ticket sales, but I think it's an interesting element to consider when you look at where at least the United States was placed. But that's true for every venue, considering when you look at Brazil, it's playing in one of the largest stadiums in Montreal, and then France obviously being far out to the east in Moncton.
I think what I also noticed when I was looking up at the venues is the travelling that some of the teams are going to have to do. Winnipeg to Vancouver for the United States is not close, is it? I don't really understand the thinking behind. I know there's not that many venues, but surely there was an opportunity there to try and place the groups in areas where teams wouldn't have to travel so much. And you know, I looked at some of the distances that teams are going to have to travel. And Canada's a big country, granted, but some of the distances those teams are going to have to travel, I guess it's a bit like when they played in the US in 99, where they have to move around a lot, because unlike Germany in 2011, it's not as big as Canada or the States. It's a long way for them to travel, and I don't really understand the thinking behind it. But very good points, guys. Thank you very much for raising that, Anne. Let's go back to the group. We discussed Group A very briefly. Linda, did you have any thoughts on Group A? Maybe on being based in Europe. Maybe you had a bit of insight or views on Holland. A few people serving them as dark horses, perhaps.
Yeah, they're definitely dark horses. They were one of the teams to qualify as well in the playoffs. They didn't win a group, so they're one of possibly easier European opponents in the tournament, so that's good for Canada, I suppose.
And obviously there is a subplot here with Canada coming up against New Zealand, because John Herdman will come up against his former team. There's obviously the other subplot in Group D with Pearson Haar coming up against the United States. So some nice little stories developing. So that's Group A. Group B was Germany, the Ivory Coast, Norway and Thailand. And if you're Sylvia Nide, you must have looked at that and you must have been rubbing your hands together.
Oh, Sylvia, she lives a charmed life sometimes. No, that's a brilliant draw, a really good draw for Germany. The only team that could argue they got a better draw is Japan, and the average rankings for that is 26.5 for Germany, and considering that they're the world number two, they're the only one that actually brings that average ranking down. Look, Germany went out at the quarterfinals, surprisingly, in their home World Cup. They have been through that rebuilding and won the Euros even when that was happening. So they will be very, very happy with what they've got right now. And if they're not making it through to the final, I think that's going to be a disappointing tournament, to be frank. They've got so many good players. They've got a beautiful blend of youth and experience. And they've got two debutants in Ivory Coast and Thailand. There's really no reason why they shouldn't be coming out of this group comfortably and placing themselves well for the knockout stages. If you're going to talk about a downside, maybe it's a little bit too comfortable, and they might not be, as Sarah said a little bit early on, quote-unquote switched on when it comes to the knockout, but they're so professional, Germany, you don't really expect that will happen with Nide at the helm.
Not at all. Well, people will say Germany have got a relatively easy group, Linda, but we both know, having been based out in Sweden last year for the European Championships, that Norway got to the final, and they will pose a threat with young players like Carolina Hansen and Ada Hegerberg, won't they?
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. They obviously played each other in the finals in the Euro 2013, and that was not, say, 5-0 win for Germany. Norway played a very good game, and their young players have improved a lot since.
And obviously it was Nadine Angerer who provided a player of the match performance to keep Norway out, wasn't it? I think she saved two penalties in the final, and it could have very easily gone the other way. Sarah, when you look at that group, I'm going to challenge you. What do you know about Thailand?
I know that they were the final country to qualify out of Asia. And
correct.
Not much
okay.
more than that, to be frank. But I think if they can have serious preparation and time together as a team before the World Cup, I'm hoping that they can put up, you know, quality performances against, you know, the likes of Germany and Norway. But to be frank, in watching them in the limited capacity that I did during the Asian championships, you know, I think that they're one of the teams where you're going to maybe have some blowouts, and that would be rather disappointing. So I think the element of preparation for some of these teams who, you know, haven't been to the World Cup before, or are fairly, you know, the lesser nations of their confederations, is going to be really important in making sure that, you know, the World Cup really is to the level that we all want it to be from a play perspective. So I think that'll be an interesting element for that group.
Absolutely.
I do agree with.
I was going to say, Anne, you've probably seen more of them. I was only teasing Sarah, but Anne, you probably saw more of them, because obviously Australia play in the same confederation as Thailand, don't they?
Yeah, and I was going to say that I do agree with Sarah, and that preparation's going to be key for Thailand. Although one thing I've got to say is that they've already handled a pressure situation in the fifth place playoff in the Asian Cup. They were up against host nation Vietnam, and I was there at that playoff, and it was absolutely jam-packed. I mean, there were people climbing over the stadium walls to get into that stadium for that playoff.
I know.
And
We saw the photo of you joining them.
yeah, I was. Oh, I didn't. I thought I might as well get in there. So, look, Thailand are a typically Asian siders, and they're very well disciplined. They stay really compact at the back. I think they're the one of the few debutants that will actually cause a blowout, just because they can keep it very tight and make it very difficult for other teams to break them down. Going forward, they've got a couple of quick strikers, so they're good on the counter attack. So for them, look, they've handled pressure before, and they did it quite well to make it through to their first ever World Cup. So I think they're a side. While they're not favourites to do much, they won't, as an Australian phrase is, they won't stink out the place.
Like it. Like it. Good saying. Might start using that. Group C holders Japan, Switzerland, Cameroon, and Ecuador. Now, I saw Cameroon at the London 2012 Olympics. They were in Team GB's group. Must confess, I wasn't overwhelmed by them. Ecuador, we know about. They claimed the very last place that was available in the World Cup after beating Trinidad and Tobago 1-0 over two legs. And Switzerland, Linda, they will potentially throw up a few surprises, won't they? They had a very good qualification group. They've got some interesting players, the likes of Lara Dickenman and Ramona Backerman. They will ask some questions of other teams, won't they?
Yeah, definitely. I'm really excited to see them at the World Cup because I think they will make an impression. It's their first World Cup, and I wouldn't be surprised if they made it to the quarterfinals at least.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more. And Sarah, Japan will be favourites for that group, beating the United States on penalties in the last tournament. What's your impression of them? Because they've had another good year and a good time as well, haven't they?
Before moving to Japan, I actually wanted to comment briefly on Switzerland because they did play the United States this summer. And so I got a chance to watch their training and watch them play. And I was really impressed. I think that, you know, while they may not have the experience as a national team, you know, being in the latter rounds of major tournaments, I think that the level of club play that a lot of their players are experiencing, because they play on some top teams, you know, in European leagues, is going to benefit them greatly. And so I think that people who follow women's soccer maybe won't be surprised by some quality performances by them. But I think some people who are, you know, kind of just tuning in or a little bit less familiar with them are going to be really impressed, I think. And it's not just on the front line. I think they even have a, you know, a solid back four and a quite young one. I was really impressed with Noelle Moretz, who plays for Wolfsburg, and she's only, I believe, 18, maybe 19. You know, she's already won the UEFA Women's Champions League and has a tremendous amount of international experience. So I think they're, you know, a young, technical, physical side that could really do well. But then also, of course, moving on to Holders Japan, they dispatched Canada in surprising fashion. I really thought that both of the recent friendlies against Canada were going to be a little bit more of a game, but they really weren't. Japan was incredibly dominant and showing how their technical skill and movement of the ball can at times paralyze teams that tend to rely more on the physical aspect of the game, such as Canada, such as the US. So I was incredibly impressed in their most recent friendlies and really interested to see, you know, if they keep on that very high playing level that they're at right now.
And Japan won the last World Cup. A lot of people saw it as fate. Obviously, they'd had the disaster in the country, obviously the tsunami. Everyone's second favorite team, and probably still are because of the way they go about their play. Is there pressure on them? Or so many people talk about the US and Germany, despite the fact that they are one of the seeded teams, despite the fact they are one of the favorites. There's not many people really talking about them. So do you think they could be one of those teams that could just go about their business and and could be going to the final again.
It's amazing that a World Cup holder can be considered a quiet achiever. Japan are this side who just, as Sarah mentioned, they go about their business. They do it very quietly and they do it very efficiently. 2011 was actually a surprise to the Japanese themselves in relation to their World Cup victory. Japan and the JFA, I was lucky enough to talk to their head of women's football about 12 months ago, and they actually had a 20-year plan in place for Japan to eventually become world champions. So they've actually done it at a much faster pace than they anticipated, which is very, very scary for the rest of the world, because they believe there's still a lot of development to come in their program. And we've seen it with them winning the under-17s World Cup just 12 months ago, and a lot of their youth teams just do very, very well. I think Japan are this side who, again, great blend of youth and experience. And you've got the likes of Saki Kumagai, who's only 23 or 24, and even Miyama, who feels like she's been around forever, is only about 30. Kawasumi's about 30. So they're actually in their prime period to once again win another championship. And with the group that they've got, I wouldn't be surprised to see them making a semi-final or a final.
No, agreed. I think they are, again, I saw a lot of Nahomi Kawasumi playing for Seattle Reign this year. Ai Miyama, for me, goes down as one of the greatest players to play the game. I think she's a wonderful player to watch, and I'm not sure about Hamari Sawa, whether she's going to be involved. Is she retired now? I'm not even sure, but she's still playing club football, I do know that, but whether she's still involved with Japan, I'm not too sure.
Wash your mouth out. Hamari Sawa will never retire.
I know you're a big fan of Sawa. I know. Likewise, but I know you are the queen fan of Hamari Sawa, and don't you worry, I will never speak badly of her, ever. Let's move on to the next group, because I'm conscious of your guys' time. We've done Group D to death. Let's do Group E, which was Brazil, the Korean Republic.
Pun intended. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Pun intended. Yeah, absolutely. I have to get it in there. Group E was Brazil, Korean Republic, Spain, and Costa Rica. Now, I had a very quick chat with Vera Baquette about the draw, and she told me that it won't be easy. But obviously it's their first World Cup and they are happy with everything and they will fight. They're going to have to, aren't they, Sarah? Because, or should I say Linda, based in Europe, because Brazil, obviously, for obvious reasons, won't be easy, but the technical ability of the Korean Republic and the almost unknown quantity of Costa Rica, and Sarah, I'll come to you on them in a second. Spain will have to be at their best to progress from that group, won't they?
Yeah, I think so. But also Spain have a lot of talent. They did relatively well last year at the Euros, and I think they have continued to improve. So I think they could be a little bit of a surprise at the World Cup.
Do you think they're, in terms of European football, do you think they are one of the most improved nations, not really been present in many major tournaments, and now two in a row, they've got players like Vera Baquette. Sarah will have seen a lot of the players that play in America, in the NWSL, the likes of Adriana Martin and Sonia Bermudez is also out there. They are a team that are getting better, and they're getting better quickly, aren't they?
Absolutely. I agree. They're definitely the European team that has developed the most over the past few years. And Vero is arguably one of the possibly top five players in the world right now. So they have a good shot.
Okay, excellent. Sarah, Costa Rica, you will have seen them down in CONCACAF. What's your views on them, and how far can they progress in this tournament?
I think they're basically the opposite of Switzerland. And what I said earlier was that the high level of play for where their players play at the club level gives Switzerland an edge. The opposite is true for Costa Rica. The majority of their players are either in college or don't play professionally. They, of course, have PSG star Shirley Cruz. But outside of that, there really isn't that same level of high play at the club level for their members. So I think the combination of it being their first time in a World Cup, as well as the fact that when they're not training with the national team, they just aren't building the same kind of experience, means that they probably won't be able to do much in their group and won't make it to the knockout stages, but I think it will be very important and a good experience for the development of that program in general as we see CONCACAF continue to try to develop as a confederation.
And in England here at Chelsea Ladies, we had a very, very special player who was named the FAWSL Player of the Year, Ji So Yun, who will obviously be representing the Korean Republic in the tournament. You will have seen them because obviously, again, they play in the same confederation as Australia. What chance of them being able to compete in that group? And are they going to be able to match or better their other Asian teams that are in the tournament?
Korea Republic is a team that really over the last couple of years they've done very, very well at youth level, but just haven't been able to translate that into the senior level. They've now got a good crop of young players that are starting to come through and making their mark, and Ji So Yun is one of the latest ones. I think Korea Republic, again, they're a very stereotypical Asian side, technically brilliant, very neat. They play some fast attacking possession football, and I think one thing we haven't spoken about, and we could probably spend a whole program in it, is in relation to the artificial turf, and it's actually going to benefit Asian teams.
I was trying to avoid that word.
Yeah, no, I know we're trying to avoid it, but I think it's crucial because I think it's actually going to benefit the Asian teams. These are teams who play a lot of possession football. They do fast, neat, quick interchanges of passes, so they don't rely on the physical aspects of the game. And if you're talking about recovery, they're teams that are actually going to do quite well out of the fact that the pitch is artificial turf. And Ji So Yun is going to be one of the keys to them, but she's not the only one. Jeon Gaul was also excellent in the Asian Cup, and they've also got a striker in Park In-soon, who ended up as the Golden Boot winner for the Asian Cup as well. So they've got some players, they're a well-structured team. They're a team that in terms of age, again, they've got a really good mix of youth, and they've got some good experienced players. And one of the keys for them is that a lot of their players actually play within the K-League, which is the Korean Women's League. And over the last couple of years, they've really developed nicely.
We've not talked about Brazil in that group, but I don't really think there's an awful lot to say. I think they will be overwhelming favourites. I do believe Spain, from my personal perspective, will be the main contender. However, I do think Korea, because of what you've just said, the technical ability they have, the players that will probably be unknown to some of the teams in that group, who will be able to spring a surprise and will be very, very technically gifted. I do think that group will be a bit closer than people think, but I think Brazil will probably come out on top. And a lot of attention on Marta, but I'm sure she will. She'll probably have not a little bit to prove as such, but she didn't have the greatest of Olympics in 2012. She was very quiet, and I think there's a few people who are questioning her Ballon d'Or nomination, but that's, again, we could probably have another whole programme on Ballon d'Or nominations. But yeah, Brazil certainly the favourites in that group for me. And we will finish off, rather aptly, seeing as I'm based in England, with Group F, which is France, England, Colombia and Mexico. Now, I think Mark Sampson will be pleased with that group. He won't be pleased with the fact they are playing France, because they never beat France and they are a bogey side for England. But I do believe he will think that Colombia and Mexico are both beatable when you compare some of the other teams that they could have faced. Linda, you watch a lot of French football. You're a big follower of Lyon. The French won't be too worried about that group, will they?
No, I'm actually a little disappointed. No offense to England or to you, but France have a tendency to sort of breeze through their group stage games and then not do so well at the later stages when they come up against tougher opponents, even though logically they probably should win. And so I'm a little disappointed that they haven't gotten tougher teams at the group stage that they could adapt while playing against and then have an easier time in the knockout stages.
Why do they struggle in the latter stages? A lot of that team is made up by players from Lyon, so they're playing together week in, week out practically. PSG make up some of that team as well, and they are getting stronger with the foreign additions and playing in the Champions League. Why do France struggle to match the bigger teams in the latter stages?
I'd have to say it's psychological, but I think in the past they've been a little bit overly confident and they haven't expected how good the opponent would be in the quarterfinals. Or last year it was Denmark, and the year before that it was Japan, I think, and they're a little bit too casual during their game, and then once they start to try to score a goal, it's a little too late and they can't score in time.
Lots of talent on that side, so that can be one of only the few explanations for it. And when you look at that group, France, England, Colombia, Mexico, what's your overriding views? Not probably got the glamour of some of the other groups, but potentially a few banana skins there for France and England, or comfortable for the two sides?
I think there's banana skins for every side, but I think this one, England have been building nicely since Mark Sampson came in to the top job, and I think the way that he's building the side, it's a side that is moving towards more of that that kind of possession football that a lot of countries like the likes of France are starting to do. I think really England should be making it out of the group, and they really should be aiming to make it out as the group winners as well. They've definitely got a chance against France. We played France, the Matildas played France, or probably
and
about 18 months ago, and beat them. And while we were played, that France, the one thing that they do is that they give you a chance in a game. They have that tendency of not being able to shut down a game. And we saw it in the semi-final against the US in 2011. You saw it again in the bronze medal match at London 2012, and also in the quarters of the Euros. So they will always give you a chance, and you just have to be able to take it. But really, they should do this one quite easily. Colombia, again, another team that's an unknown. In men's football, they've been rising, and in women's football, they seem to be doing the same thing as well. But really, I think it's a two-horse race in that one.
Yeah, agreed. I've seen Mexico a couple of times play against the US, and not necessarily at the standard of England and France. I agree. I don't, must confess, know an awful lot about Colombia. I was at Wembley for England's game against Germany, and I think it was a footballing lesson for England. They obviously came for a very comfortable qualification group, almost too comfortable, I think, scoring over 50 goals and only conceding the one. But I think Germany's 3-0 win was probably a bit of a reality check that England needed. And I think that's something that they can take as a positive. And I think the two games they've got coming up against, funnily enough, France and the United States in February, will probably say a lot. Sarah, you will have seen Mexico a lot. We see players in the NWSL, or maybe we don't see them as much as we would imagine, because a lot of them don't get into the size that they represent. US have played them a few times this year and won comfortably. What chance of them not necessarily just progressing from the group, but making an impact on the tournament as a whole?
My expectations for Mexico are pretty low. They had a poor performance in the CONCACAF championships. I think I've been fairly disappointed with their performances, both in the friendlies versus the U.S. prior to the CONCACAF championships, and then the tournament itself. They won in extra time against Trinidad, who ended up losing to Ecuador in the playoff. Granted, they ended up winning 4-2, but they needed that extra time against a side that had, you know, considerably less preparation time, considerably less experience. And so just in general, I think it's been fairly disappointing to see how the team has been playing. I think they've been spending much more time together in camp already. And they did just play in the Central America Cup and won. So that's positive. But unless they start to get these high-level games that are really going to push them, I don't see their development progressing at the rate that it needs to be competitive for the World Cup. So unless they push beyond kind of, you know, competing in Central and South America and really try to get these games where they're learning and being pushed, then I think, you know, they'll be there, but they'll probably won't make too much of a challenge for France or England.
Brilliant. Well, guys, thank you very much. That was a very comprehensive and insightful look at the group. So I'm just going to ask some quick fire questions to get your views after the draw. If I were to ask you to name one team out of those groups that will be delighted with their group and one team that will be quite disappointed, who would you go with? Anne, do you want to start?
Delighted, I would go with Germany. Disappointed, USA, Sweden, Australia, or one country?
Okay, Linda?
I was thinking the exact same thing, so I have to agree with Anne.
Okay. Sarah, are you on the same wavelength?
Delighted, I'm going to go with Japan. And then disappointed, I actually think, no, I'll go with Group or Death and then one. Maybe Canada. I mean, honestly, that's a fairly tough group. So we'll go with Group A.
Okay. Well, I'm along the same wavelength. I think Germany and Japan, I think Germany will be delighted with their group. I think disappointed. Do you know what, Anne? I'm going to say Australia. And the reason I'm going to say Australia is because I have such high hopes for them. I'm disappointed maybe more than they are that they've been put in such a tough group, because I think placed in any other group, maybe they would have had a better chance of really making an impact. And you just wonder how much they're going to be able to do that when they come up against Sweden and USA. But that's my opinion. I'm still hopeful that they will progress and make a big impact. If you were to pick one player from your home nation that people should look out for, who would it be? And not necessarily the obvious choices. And starting with you.
A name. She hasn't been an obvious choice. She's not a Sam Kerr or Caitlin Ford, a name that most people are quite familiar with. But Katrina Gori, who just took out the Asian Confederation Player of the Year, beating out Ayamiyama and Nohomi Kawasumi. She finished second in terms of the Player of the Tournament for the Asian Cup. She's 4 foot nothing, well, 10. I'll give her 4'10". She's a pocket rocket and she's one of the sweetest strikers of the ball in world football. She's definitely a player that will be the playmaker for the Matildas, and she will be one to watch, and she makes the midfield tick.
Love Katrina Gori. Probably second biggest fan behind you. I've been singing her praises for quite a while. Linda, what about Sweden?
That's a really tough question, I think. For an international audience who maybe haven't seen so much European football lately, I would say Nilla Fischer. She really impressed in the Euros, and I think she will do equally as well at the World Cup.
Sarah, it's difficult, isn't it? Because I'm picking three nations that people know quite a lot about, but what about for the US?
I'm going to go with Lori Kolupny, because she hasn't played for the U.S. national team in 5 years. If she does break into the roster, it's because she's going to fill an extremely important gap at either, I'm guessing, left back or center midfield, which I would say are both points of weakness for the team at this point. So there is depth and there is quality on the attacking front. But if they can round out and really have strong players, both in the back line and then for the more defensive midfield, and I think that's what's going to ultimately propel the U.S. Through the tournament. I'm one of those defense wins championships believers. So,
okay, fair comment. I think for England, I'm going to go Jordan Nobbs. I think Jordan is one of the young guns coming through the England team, and I think she will be a very, very important player in this World Cup, especially if Kelly Smith is not going to be available. I think Jordan is a player that will burst through from midfield, obviously nearly scored after 10 seconds against Germany at Wembley with her shot cannoning off the bar. And I've watched Jordan for a few years now, and she's developed into a very, very good young player. And I think she will be a real key for England in the World Cup. What I should have done is I should have asked you to pick a player from your home nation and then a player from another country that you are looking forward to seeing, and non-Australian player that you are particularly looking forward to lighting up the World Cup?
Oh, that's a good question, actually. I'm actually looking forward to... Oh, look, I'm a big France fan. Outside of Japan and Australia, I'm a big France fan. And I'm looking forward to seeing a Gaëtan Tierney, who I think is one of the most underrated of the French players. She's a brilliant technical player. She really can work as a lone striker or as part of a three, and she's got an incredible strike on her as well. So I was lucky enough to see her in 2011. She's kind of fallen a little bit off the radar in the last couple of years, but I really do think she's one that if France are going deep into the tournament, Gaëtan Tierney has had a good tournament.
Totally agree. I think the fact she's not playing for PSG or Lyon works against her. Obviously playing for Juvisy doesn't necessarily get the plaudits that she probably deserves, but I couldn't agree more. Really like Gaëtan Tierney. Linda, another player that you're looking forward to lighting up the World Cup that's not Swedish?
I would have to say a French player as well, Louise Anasib. She didn't perform quite as well as I was hoping at the Olympics or the World Cup before that either, I think, but I'm hoping she will turn it up a little bit and really perform at the next World Cup.
Sarah?
I'm going to buck the trend and not choose a French player. Instead, I'm going to go with Vera Boquets from Spain, because I think that it's so tremendous to see one of the world's best players actually get to play on the world's top stage, because you know, you hope that those two things pair up. It isn't like a Gareth Bale situation or Kim Little, where, you know, because they're from smaller nations, they don't get to play in, you know, the most important tournament in the world. So to see how she steps up for the occasion and the leadership that she can provide her team to hopefully guide them at least out of the group stage, I think will be really compelling and interesting to watch. And then just to see her quality is always a joy.
Excellent. I was going to go for Ada Hegerberg of Norway, but I'd probably be accused of being biased because I've interviewed Ada a few times and it would be easy for me to say her. So I am going to go for Jennifer Marijan of Germany. I think there is big expectation on her shoulders. Obviously missed the 2011 World Cup through injury, I believe. I think she could be a real influence for that Germany side. And with the players around her, I think they could potentially... Obviously, we're expecting them to have a good tournament. I think Marijan could be the player that really drives them forward. So at this early stage, if I had to... I'm not going to ask you who's going to win, but who is the team that is going to surprise everyone? Anne?
Spain. For the exact reason that Sarah said, I think... Vera Boquets is such a metronome for her sides, whether it was Tirso, the Portland Thorns, or for the Spanish national team. She's one of those players who has such a will, and she brings her teammates forward. But I think also crucially, she has a really good supporting cast around her. You mentioned Adriana, Sonia Bermúdez, and also Alex from Barcelona. So I think she's got a good supporting cast around her. She's a brilliant player. And I think Spain has a decent group as well. So all of those together could see the Spanish actually start to make an impact in women's football on the world stage.
Linda, the prize package?
I think Switzerland. They have a couple of world-class players, and I think they could really surprise people if their defense can put up a good play against the tougher nations.
Sarah?
Well, I was going to say Switzerland, but I'm going to go with...
You can say Switzerland as well, it's fine. You can say Switzerland as well.
I'm actually going to go out on a limb and say that this is the year that France does not underperform. In speaking and interviewing with some of the French players earlier this year when they played in the U.S., they really did, you know, talk about the notion of being needing to be mentally stronger and having the right mindset when they're coming into games. And I think that, you know, you can argue that their lack of performance when, you know, it really counts in the latter stages of tournaments comes down to mentality. And so I think when you saw them, you know, beat Germany earlier this year, and you've seen some of the progress that they're making, it really seems like they're gonna, this could be the tournament when they really overcome that final hurdle and really play to their potential.
Okay, like it. Well, I'm torn. I'm still convinced Australia will be the surprise team despite the group of death.
Oh, bless you, Kieran.
I know. I can't get away from Australia. I just think they've got so many good players. I've seen a lot of them playing in the NWSL. I'm kind of drawn to Norway as well. I think that group with Germany, I think Germany will win the group, but I think Norway was so impressive in Euro 2013, and they are a year, or they will be 2 years more experienced come the tournament starts. So I'm gonna say Norway, I think, and try and give them a little bit of a boost. But I think I've had you long enough. I'm looking down at the clock, and I think we've been chatting for over 45 minutes, which is brilliant, because it's always a pleasure to chat women's football, and it's always a pleasure to chat with three people who know so much about it. So thank you very much. We'll no doubt talk in the lead up to the tournament. I do hope that your respective nations do well, because I think there are some great players in all of them. It's a shame that they have all ended up in the same group, but we shall see who comes out on top, and certainly the build-up, I think, will tell us a lot about how prepared they are for the tournament. So, Anne, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kieran.
Linda, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for tuning in. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.